It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
A mochi moment from Mark, who writes, I just want to thank you for making GLP-1s affordable. What would have been over $1,000 a month is just $99 a month with Mochi. Money shouldn't be a barrier to healthy weight. 3 months in, and I have smaller jeans and a bigger wallet. You're the best. Thanks, Mark. I'm Myra Ahmed, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Mark is a Mochi member compensated for his story.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is Thursday. It is the Coach Approach. I'm here with the man, and not only are the 49ers injured, now your content creators are being dragged under the bus. I'm struggling, so I'm going to push through this one as much as I can. Sorry for not having a show yesterday, but I'm pumped. There was no way I was going to miss this show. Plus, we're giving away two tickets to the Rams game today, so stay tuned for that one. Ant, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, yeah. And John's designation for today is limited, but he is practicing. So that's good news. I think his availability for this weekend seems pretty good. So, yeah, I mean, hey, one of the things with content creation, you got to use your voice. And when you get colds and stuff, it is rough. So glad you're here. I'm glad that the 49ers are still 3-0. It's every week we keep talking about some new way that they find a way to win. It's like, how are they doing this? There's no set way that they're getting it done, but they're getting it done. And now they got the Jaguars. I think this is – it's just a lot of fun right now. This season is should be roller coaster rides because of all the injuries and stuff, but I'm still sitting on a high enjoying the way that the 49ers are finding ways to win.
You know, it's funny because, like, obviously 3-0, there's six teams in the NFL that has done that. The 49ers with all the injuries and, you know, we're going to talk Brandon Ayuk news. We're going to talk Bosa, how to replace them, all those things. But what I wanted to talk about is this. You look at the schedule. The 49ers, one of the best things that took place this offseason is, look, you had a fourth-place finish last year, which is awful, but you get a fourth-place schedule. And so because of that, you get the easy schedule all year. The 49ers are 3-0. If you get to 10 wins, you are in the playoffs. If you get to 11 wins, you're guaranteed 10 wins almost always. So one of the things that I wanted to start this show off with, Ant, let's take a step back and let's look at the 49ers remaining schedule, because if they go 7-7 down the stretch, that's 10-7. There hasn't been many teams that have got to 10 wins in this new playoff format with seven teams making in the NFC, seven teams making the AFC that don't make the playoffs. So I want to go through this schedule together. And so I want to kind of see what you think it would take and what a roster projection or a score projection, you know, for the rest of these remaining games. Like, how many wins do we see on the table with what the 49ers currently have? The injuries continue to pile up. That's not going to stop. Look at David Gill. He says, injured but undefeated. That is the theme of my life. I freaking love it. So let's go through this. And I want you to rate these games a few different ways. Very winnable, toss-up, or that one's going to be hard, right? So somewhere around those categories. So let's go through these, because again, if you finish 10-7, I think you're in the playoffs. You get more of that, but I'm going to keep track here. So let's go. I've got my pen and paper. All right, Jaguars. How do you put that one?
I think it's winnable. I think it's very winnable for the 49ers. Jaguars have been playing pretty good, but you know, this is still a good matchup for them.
Okay, good. Tampa Bay. They're undefeated as well.
Yeah, I think that one is a toss-up. I think that they've played well against the 49ers, especially last year. So I think that one's going to be a little bit more difficult. So I would say that one's a toss-up for the 49ers. I think it's in Tampa Bay, if I remember right.
Yeah, we'll be there for that one with the 49ers. We're going to be partying on Clearwater Beach, man. Can't wait. Come join us Saturday. We'll be tailgating right across the street. Let's go. Let's go. All right. What about the Atlanta Falcons? They're struggling, but they've got a lot of talent on that team.
Yeah, I think that's winnable. I think that, you know, I mean, Penix hasn't won a game where the other team scored more than 7 points. I think the 49ers can handle the 7 points part. So I think that the Atlanta Falcons right now are in a state of disarray with that quarterback situation. I don't know if they make a quarterback change. I don't think so. But right now they have a lot of talent, but they're not really living up to expectations.
Yeah, that's kind of the issue there as well. Okay, Houston Texans. Looking like one of the worst teams in the NFL. They just lost to the Jaguars last week. It was one of the weirdest games I've ever seen, man. It was just no team wanted to win that game.
Yeah, that was. I just finished watching the all 22 of that. And that all over the place. CJ Stroud just doesn't look great right now. Who knows what that roster is going to look like by the time the 49ers get there, or if they're deciding to sell off some parts, or if they're still in the mix. I think that's a very winnable game for the 49ers. And Kyle Shanahan doesn't normally lose to disciples. So I think that they got a really good chance to beat the Texans.
All right. Giants quarterback switch. Jackson Dart's the new guy there.
The 49ers are winning that game. I'm not even going to say winnable. I'm going to say they're winning that game. Jackson Dart, he'll show some improvement by then, but that team's not good. They're going to start trading off parts too. I think at some point, you know, Kayvon Thibodeau is probably going to get moved. They've got other guys there. They've got to make some moves there. So I think that team's going to look different when the 49ers play them.
All right. Then we got the Rams, which, you know, you've got kind of two. You've got the Rams week 5, which I skipped over because I wanted to talk about them together, and week 10. So you've got them kind of a month apart. How do you see those Rams game, divisional game? They're playing as well as almost anybody in football right now.
Yeah, I put the Thursday night one as a tough one for the 49ers. I think that one's going to be real tough. I know that it's, you know, Levi South, but a short week, and you're playing against a team that's got really good pass rushers. I think that's probably one of the games I think the 49ers have the biggest worries about is that game. Now, if they win it, it's all gravy, right? But I think that one's probably one of the toughest ones on the schedule. And as far as week 10, I think that one's more of a winnable game. I think the 49ers will have more of their cast of characters back, right? George Kittle won't be in the first one, but he'll probably be in the second one. As long as they're kind of staying healthy, I think they have a good shot to beat the Rams at home. But I think the road one's a little bit more difficult.
Okay, at Arizona, you just beat them barely at home. Now you got to travel to there. But 49ers fans, they own that stadium down there anyway.
Yeah, and Arizona is going to start tailing off. This is what they do. Second half, they just start, you know, falling away. Who knows what happens by then as far as that team. They're kind of, you know, already you're getting that sense that they're kind of – I mean, they played well, but it's not great. I think the 49ers, that's a winnable game in Arizona.
All right, I like it. Okay, rounding out Carolina Panthers. I don't even know if they're going to have the same head coach at that time.
No, and, you know, the thing is Love hasn't looked great this year. It's been up and down. That run game hasn't gotten going for them. I think this is a very winnable game for the Niners.
Very winnable. I like that. Okay, let's go to the Cleveland Browns at Cleveland. We'll be there. That's a weird one, but the defense is great, but I don't know what else is great about Cleveland.
The hardest part for me, and that's why I'm going to put this one as a toss-up, is the 49ers do not play good in that area of the country. And the Cleveland Browns defense is for real. Their offense is not good, but that defense is for real. And their defensive coordinator always gives Kyle Shanahan fits. I think that one's a toss-up. I think that's a tough one to win. I think what you saw to happen to Green Bay could happen to the 49ers. I still think the 49ers have a shot, but I think it's a toss-up.
Yeah, we're putting that one as a toss-up. I like that. Okay, Tennessee Titans after the bye week. You get a rest finally. And again, Titans looking about as bad as possible. But Cam Ward and that offense eventually is going to start clicking.
Yeah, I think they'll be better. I think that's a winnable game for the 49ers. I think that they're another team that might trade off some pieces, especially on their defense, some veterans like Arden Key or Jeffrey Simmons. So you might see a different Titans team there. They still got a long way to go to build, and they need more draft capital. So I think they'll be better offensively with Cam Ward, but I think they're going to start they're going to continue to struggle. I think that's a winnable game.
Ooh, so not very winnable, but winnable.
Winnable, yeah.
Winnable. I counted incorrectly. Okay, what about the Colts, who they're undefeated as well?
Yeah, the Colts look pretty good. You know, Daniel Jones has been consistent. They haven't punted. I think they punted one time this year so far. They have been a very effective. Let's see what happens as this thing plays out. I'll say toss up for now because I think they've played well enough to make this a respectable outcome. But can Daniel Jones continue to be that good? They just lost one of their cornerbacks for a little bit. Let's see what their secondary looks like. But they're playing well. You got to give them respect, and I think it's a toss-up game.
Yeah, toss-up. I like that. Okay, couple more. Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears. They put the hurting on Dallas last week.
Yeah, I don't know what you're getting from Ben Johnson's team. You know, I mean, we've seen them just up and down. That's a long ways away. You know, that's a primetime game a long ways away from now. I'm going to say it's a toss-up because you just don't know what that team's going to look like. I just think it's a little bit more in a gray area for the 49ers, so I'll keep it there.
And then the Seattle Seahawks, who play tomorrow against the Cardinals on that Thursday night football matchup. You wrap up the season. Again, there are a few teams in the NFL that you could say they're playing as well as anybody in the NFL right now. Seattle Seahawks fit that mold.
Yeah, I knew that was going to be a good win for the 49ers. Now their defense is number two in EPA in the entire league. That win's going to hold up for the Niners. The Seattle is going to be a lot better than people think. That Week 18 matchup, I wonder how much it matters for the overall team for the 49ers. But it's at home. That helps. I think that's a game. That's a toss-up, though. I think Seattle's going to be fighting for their playoff lives, and I think they're going to be coming out there with everything they got, and I think that one's going to be close. Who knows? You know, you might have to have a big play at the end of the game to win that, and it could be big for playoff seeding. But I think it's a toss-up when you talk about division rival and Seattle's playing good.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
A mochi moment from Tara, who writes, "For years, all my doctor said was eat less and move more, which never worked. But you know what does? The simple eating tips from my nutritionist at Mochi. And after losing over 30 pounds, I can say you're not just another GLP-1 source. You're a life source. Thanks, Tara. I'm Myra Ahmed, founder of Mochi Health. To find your mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Tara is a Mochi member compensated for her story.
So if we play this out, and again, the 49ers are 3-0. You have four very winnable games. So let's assume they win those, all right? That gets you to 7 wins. You have four winnable games. So, like, I don't want to throw those in there. You have 5 toss-ups and 1 difficult. That at Rams Thursday night game, which we're about to give tickets away to here in about 5 minutes. So stay tuned for that if you bought entries to that. But man, based on kind of where Ant has it, and I would agree with them on almost all those evaluations, it really seems like, again, you were relying on blue chip players, which you've already out a couple of those, but you're relying on great coaching and an easy schedule. And so the reason why I wanted to do that exercise, not because we could kind of forecast how that's going to play out, but whenever you have these major injuries to guys like Nick Bosa, whenever you find out Brandon Ayuk's not close, in the words of John Lynch, to returning, that's not what's important. You go with what you got. If you make it to the dance in the playoffs, you get to those 10, 11 wins, then you're cooking, get to the playoffs, and who knows what could happen once you're in the dance. It's kind of like that March Madness mindset. And Ant, you've been a coach. Like, you win your division, you take it a game by game approach, but you make it in there, you get in the playoffs, who the hell knows what could happen? Eli Manning has 2 Super Bowl wins as a 6 seed, right? So, like, you just got to get in.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. That's all you have to do is get to the dance, and then anything can happen. And for some teams, that's when they click, is down the stretch. It's not like who gets on, it's who's the hottest when you get there. And some teams, they cool off down the stretch. You know, they're on cruise control. If you get this team that had to fight for their lives to get there, and 49ers were one of those teams in 2021, they almost got all the way to the dance from that last playoff seed. And so we've seen this in recent memory for the 49ers. It's all about how you're playing when the time comes. And hopefully you get all these guys together and the offense starts looking better. And, you know, one of the key factors I think where, you know, a lot of times people aren't taking into account is I like Mac Jones, but Brock Purdy is a starting quarterback, franchise quarterback of the 49ers, and they won 2 games without him. That is a different level of playing undefeated. And I think when you look at the numbers, it kind of supports why. Teams right now are playing the 49ers differently because of Mac Jones playing quarterback. And Mac's done a great job. And I'm very happy that we have him as a backup. But make no mistake, this offense is better with Brock Purdy at quarterback. And if he's playing against the Jaguars or beyond, we're going to see this offense take an uptick. And that's what's important. You're also adding in DeMarcus Robinson. They're getting bodies back, which is huge for this team.
Ah, I freaking love it. Look at RTP FTW in the house. Great point, and I love it. I'll tell you what. Let's do this. Let's give away some tickets. This is for two tickets to the 49ers at Rams October 2nd. This is Thursday night football game at SoFi. For all the people that bought entries, I want to say thank you. Every single penny raised goes to Bruno and his family, 3-year-old fighting through leukemia. He's an absolute beast. So you can kind of see all the entries over here if you want to scroll through that. But I'm going to shuffle it just to make it a little bit more random. I'm going to shuffle one more time. This is a live spin. We're spinning it once. And if they're not here, that's okay. I have their contact information. Here we go. For two tickets to go see the 49ers at Levi South. And the winner is none other than, I like the name, John Sanchez. I got to write this down just so I don't forget it, just in case. So shout out to John Sanchez. Thank you to everybody who supported a great cause. As always, I wish everybody would win. The worst part of doing all these giveaways is only one person gets to win. But thank you for doing a great cause and just helping people at a time of need. So we're really, really big on that. And so anyway, shout out to John Sanchez. I'll be reaching out and getting you those tickets as soon as possible. That game's coming up pretty soon. So I want to go back to this Mac or Brock conversation. Both of them are limited. Both of them aren't practicing fully. What is your expectation moving forward with who's going to be taking the quarterback snaps for the 49ers?
I think it's going to be Brock Purdy this week. You know, I think that last week, you know, they let it build up to the point, but I think they always kind of saw this happening. They got him out last week, got some work in. He was started looking better as the week went on. And then now this week, I think it's, you know, it's really going to be Brock ramping up. And I understand, you know, the plan. I mean, look at Liam Cohen. I listened to him yesterday doing his presser, and he's having to talk about, we have to plan for Brock. We have to plan for Mac. They do different things. That's just, why not play it out until you can't, you know what I mean? And I think this is going to be good for the 49ers. Brock Purdy, his ability to scramble, his ability to generate extra plays, you know, off schedule throws, his ability to keep his eyes downfield and make throws. Those are going to be big. And, you know, I talked about, you know, Mac Jones earlier and how much I appreciate him, but there are throws that he missed. You know, he had some opportunities to take some shots that Brock would have definitely taken, because we've seen him do it in the past. And I think that's going to open up this offense and kind of open up what's available in the run game as well. Right now, everyone's crammed in the middle. They're buzzing safeties in. They're taking away the deep crossers. They're dropping their linebackers deeper than they've ever dropped them. And it's like they're taking away all the Kyle Shanahan staples, and he's having to figure out a way to win. That doesn't happen with Brock Purdy. His offense goes to generating more points, not under 20 anymore, but back over 20, where they can be more of effective offense. And I think it's going to help the whole team get better once Brock Purdy's at the helm.
Yeah, I like that. And I want Brock back, and just especially with the ability to evade pressure. Like, that is what you saw that year three of Brock, where it was just like, man, you actually saw it in the end of year two in that playoff run against, you know, Green Bay and against the Lions, where he started running and using his feet. And then you saw it in the Super Bowl, and it was like, man, I hope Brock can continue this in the regular season. Goes out and gets over 300 rush yards, like 5 rushing touchdowns. So that is such an important part of this offense, just extending drives, getting those first down. Shout out to Eric. Appreciate the super chat, my friend. Congrats to John S. for winning. But most importantly, Bruno, so great of you to set this up for a great cause, Big J. Man, my two things in life: help people, have fun. Everything else is details. It's so simple. It's so simple. That's why I'm friends with guys like Ant and Wade, and, you know, so many of the 49ers rush team and so many of the people out there. It's so, life is so easy when we just boil it down to the bare minimum. And that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to have a good time and talk our favorite football team with the 49ers. Now, some negatives. You talked about the run game. The interior offensive line has not been consistent, especially in the run game. Jake Brindle can pass block. For those that watch the All-22, and you see Dominique Pooney continues to struggle. I think he's been the least consistent 49ers offensive lineman through 3 weeks. Connor Colby has a lot of bright spots, but again, the consistency is not there. He's a 7th-round rookie. You can't expect that. But Jake Brindle as well, at the point of attack, short yardage situations, not really his jam. Talk to me about the run game, the only team in the NFL to not have a rushing touchdown. Is that going to change, or is this kind of the MO for the 2025 offense?
No, I think it's going to change. You know, I saw some interesting things. You bring up Jake Brendel and Dominic Pooney, and there was a weird play in there where the 49ers didn't run the ball in near the end zone, where Jake Brendel was in contact with this guy, and he literally came off of him and started blocking Dominic Pooney's guy. And I'm like, wait, what are you doing? And that guy makes the play. It was some unique things that are happening right now. You bring up Dominic Pooney and Connor Colby, and you can tell Dominic Pooney's not 100%. This guy's not fully healthy. He's not moving laterally the way he did last year. He's just not moving in space like he did before. And I think it's very much injury related. And I think at some point, you know, hopefully he'll start to get a little bit healthy. You don't know if guys can get healthy when they're playing injured. But I think that that's been a little bit of an issue for him. And so this run game, it definitely hasn't been all based on defense. Some of it's been on the personnel not executing. I think sometimes it's those interior offensive linemen that you brought up. Sometimes it's those offensive tackles. But when they get it right, it looks like the old 49ers offense. That toss play to Brian Robinson is one of my favorite plays in this entire game because of everyone executing at the highest level. From Colt McKivitz blowing up someone 10, 15 yards downfield, Jake Brendel doing the same, Marquez Valdes-Scantling with a great block doing his best Juwan Jennings impersonation. And then you just get the confidence of Brian Robinson running and flowing and feeling the patience. That's what you look to see. There hasn't been a lot of avenues for that. Connor Colby has to get better run blocking. Dominic Pooney has to figure out how to make it happen. But I think they will get it done. The 49ers are getting a little bit more comfortable with what defenses are doing to them. And you can see Kyle Shanahan make little adjustments. That's why in the second half, you've seen Christian McCaffrey rip off some 7 to 10 yard runs here and there. But it's got to get a lot better. And you talked about the red zone. They've got to be able to effectively run the ball in the red zone. And right now, they're just not executing good enough.
Yeah, that's kind of where it is. Like, it's just the consistent execution on those short yardage situations. And like, you even saw, like, CMC had like a couple of missed cuts where, like, he has the best vision of any running back maybe in the history of the NFL. But like, even CMC was missing some cuts, which almost never happens. There were like two just misreads where he kind of jumped the wrong way, which never, it's just getting everybody on the same page and switching the cadence and the quarterback. And you've got a backup running back who's still too new to the system. Wide receivers every week is a who's who. Just getting all on the same page. Now, what I want to talk about next is I want to dive into John Lynch's comments on KNBR this morning and talk about Nick Bosa and Brandon Ayuk and kind of what is there right after this. You know that one guy in the group chat who had a 5-leg parlay week one and just wouldn't shut up about it for the rest of the season? That could be you. MyBookie makes it super easy to get into the action. College football, NFL, super contest, survivor pools, casino, blackjack, whatever it is you want, they got it. All the spreads, player props, and in-game lines you could want all under one roof. And if you're new to MyBookie, use our code 49ers, 49ERS, up to $500 is fully covered. You make your play. Let's say it doesn't hit. You get all of it right back up to $500 when you opt in using your bet back bonus, and you get it back. It's just what it is. Comes with a one-time rollover if you use it. Now, no better time to jump in, no better place to play. Plus, we have all of our weekly bets and season bets up on our Patreon and the 49ersrush.com. So if you don't know how to get started, we've got it made for you. We show you what we bet. We show you what's out there, and we will cover that with you. It's going to be a good time. So football's back. Let's make some money with MyBookie, promo code 49ERS. Let's go. All right, John Lynch was on KNBR this morning. He said, quote, "We'll see what's out there at the appropriate time, but right now, we're going to rely on the guys we have, and we believe in our group," end quote. Talking about Nick Bosa, what the replacement looks like. So let's focus on what John talked about. One, no teams are selling right now. Even if you're 0-3, coaches haven't been fired yet. So as the time, you know, season goes on, there will be some teams that are selling. Nobody is selling right now at 0-3. So like, you got to wait. Once you get closer to the trade deadline, of course, those will present themselves. But for now, 49ers aren't adding anybody. Yeah, they added William Bradley King. He's going to be on the practice squad. Robert Beal gets elevated. Talk to me about what you think this defensive line approach is going to be without Nick Bosa.
Yeah, you know, I don't think it changes a whole lot as far as, like, the things that they've been doing. You know, Robert Beal Jr. made the most sense for him to come up the way he plays the run. Now he can still play those base defensive end reps that still frees up, you know, Bryce Huff a little bit and Etor Gross-Matos to be able to still rush from the inside. You know, Bryce Huff to come in for more of those pass rush reps. That way, Etor doesn't have to get more snaps right now. They're still working him in. Kyle Shanahan said yesterday, and I think we all were aware, he's not going to practice Wednesdays pretty much all year. He's going to practice Thursday. They're going to monitor him all year, but he's still not all the way there, but he's able to go perform. And so by Robert Beal Jr. coming up, that definitely helps. He's been with the team. He understands. You're not going to get the huge upside when it comes to pass rush from him, but he's still got a little bit of an ability. I thought he looked better in preseason than we thought, but this made total sense. You have to evaluate what you have before you ever go look to see what's on another roster. And over the next couple of games, I think they're really going to evaluate this defensive line and how they're able to generate pressure. All it does is give other opportunities to other guys. And now you're going to see Bryce Huff be the focal point of the movement. You're going to see him line up over the center sometimes. You're going to see him out wide on each side. Or sometimes they're going to run certain types of games up front to generate opportunities for him. So it's all a game. The other part of it is Robert Saul is really good at engaging offensive linemen in believing that people are coming with pressure. Simulated pressure is so huge. Last week we saw Fred Warner and D. Winter show and even go forward and get those guys to bite and then bail. They did a really good job. And I thought that, you know, yes, the sack numbers weren't there last week, but everyone's got to remember that's against Kyler Murray, who if they worry, they have to worry so much about pass rush lane integrity. This week, you're not as worried about Trevor Lawrence running. He gets you every once in a while, but you can go get him. You can unleash the hounds on him. So I think that's going to be a big thing. But the next 2 weeks is going to be a big evaluation point for the 49ers and how they plan on attacking before they ever think about going out there and seeing what's open in the trade market.
Yeah, and shout out to Ben. That's it. How these next 2 weeks play out, you know, it's going to affect what the Niners do for a trade. Because if you're 5-0, then, all right, let's do some crazy business. Let's figure that out. Now, you have the Jacksonville Jaguars, and you travel down to the Rams, which the Rams are playing well. But you take it. Sam O, they love this guy. How consistent he is. Now, is he a dominant defender that is great in the pass rush? No, but he's great against the run. He always does his job setting the edge. He just does the job that you need to do. And we remember Kerry Hyder getting, you know, close to double-digit sacks back in 2020 with Robert Saleh. Like, that is what it's going to take. But I would say with all the rookies, this is a much more talented defensive line group than what you had in 2020 after Bosa and Solomon Thomas went out. So you got to see what you got in-house. Robert Beal can help with the run. Do you think they call up Travis Gibson or do you think they call up Bradley King? Like, do you think that that's one of the avenues that we'll see this week or no?
No, I don't think so. I think Robert Beal Jr. coming up to the active roster is all they really need. I think they have enough guys now. I think, you know, with Robert Beal Jr. and Samuel Kawanu, then you have the young guy, Mikel Williams. And then I think that they can kind of rotate all those guys through and get defensive end reps. I mean, they could always, just in case they're worried about Gross-Matos or something like that, but you know, I think they still have other concerns at other positions. And so I don't think they ultimately have to bring up a defensive end, but I love the fact that they still have Gibson. I think Gibson could come play consistent play right now. I had called for Robert Beal Jr. to be the guy. I mean, he's the one that made the 53. He's the one they're probably the most high on, but Gibson was definitely, I'm sure, in the conversation because he played really well in the preseason. It's good. The 49ers have so much depth at defensive end. They are insulated. Now, you never replace the production of Nick Bosa, but as far as bodies, you have guys that are capable NFL players that can go get reps and snaps, and that's ultimately the only thing you can hope for right now.
Yeah, and, you know, talking hope, I know that, you know, the faithful, you start seeing Brandon Ayuk running routes and jogging routes out there, and you got some people saying, oh, Brandon Ayuk might be ready week one, and we kept telling you guys, like, calm down. It's October, November at the earliest. Well, John Lynch comes out and says, quote, Brandon Ayuk is not close, end quote, to returning. He went on to say, quote, there haven't been any setbacks. There's different levels with the ACL. Brandon had a significant injury. There's no absolutes on these things. He's got to continue to hit markers. When we have some more info on that, we'll be forthright with it, end quote. What are your thoughts on Brandon Ayuk? Like, November, maybe? Or is it even worse than that?
I think probably the end of October, early November, they open up his window, you know, allow him to come and practice. I think that's kind of the marker we've all been looking at, because I would put him coming back right before Thanksgiving. I think that that's realistic, you know, for Brandon Ayuk. But also, if the team keeps winning and they're winning the way they're winning, it also lessens the pressure of the Brandon Ayuk comeback. You can let this guy take time to get better and keep working in and allow that knee to get even further along. So I think that it right now, the 49ers and the fact that they're playing well as far as winning, it helps that kind of that process. But I always thought it was into October, early November for Brandon Ayuk to potentially start coming back and ramping up. And I still believe that today, but it is fun watching him run routes. I mean, he's definitely at least trying to get himself back as soon as he can.
Yeah. And you got to remember, so the process, once the 49ers activate that window, it's a 3-week window. And then after, at any point during those 3 weeks, the 49ers could put him on the active roster or shut them down, and then that's it for him. So if he comes out and practices 3 weeks, knee doesn't respond correctly, whatever else, then he cannot come back the remainder of the year. So, and again, shout out to Lee. You got to remember, Brandon Ayuk was so slow to ramp up after missing training camp last season. So you get the 3-week window whenever they activate him. Do not expect him to play for those next couple weeks. And then whenever he does come play, you've got to add more time onto that. So, you know, if you look at that November 1st, November 2nd, they activate him. You're looking at him play his first game maybe mid-November. Maybe he's back to himself December by playoffs. That's what the 49ers are kind of hoping. That's what you're kind of hoping for. Now, there is other players that are out, including Malik Mustafa. Shout out to Ben and Matt Barrows of The Athletic. Ben says, Barrows reported Mustafa was going through an intense workout at the last practice. I bet they opened his window after the Rams week, that mini bye. Oh, could you imagine this defense with Marquise Siegel and freaking Malik Mustafa as your two safeties? Oh, that's the stuff dreams are made of, man.
It is, because then Jason Pinnock is freed up to be that big nickel. And, you know, that's exactly what he did coming out of college. I mean, he played nickel. So he's better than Jair Brown in that category when it comes to coverage and stuff. So it just makes your team better. But the guided missile of Malik Mustafa, adding him to Siegel, who's already been phenomenal. I mean, that play he made on Kyler Murray in the fourth quarter is so good. He's the single high safety, and he's going to match Kyler Murray downhill and make the tackle in open space to prevent a gain on the play, and the 49ers end up getting the huge stop. Marquise Siegel has been so good this year. He has just been so good, and adding him to Malik Mustafa is going to be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I like that. And so, and then, you know, I got a question in here about Kittle. Kittle's already missed two games. So theoretically, Kittle could come back after that, what's it called, the Rams game as well. But it doesn't mean he's assured that. Usually hamstrings are 4 to 6 weeks. That would be the 4-week primer. But yeah, Kittle can come back anytime after that Rams game. He can come back. And so hopefully sooner than later. You need some of these guys back. The attrition that is taking place because of injuries all up and down this team, it's not going to stop. The 49ers, I mean, the NFL 100% injury rate, you're going to get more injuries. It would be nice to go through a game and not deal with injuries, but shoot, yesterday at Wednesday's practice, you had 15 players listed on the injury report of your 53. Now, some of those are veteran rest days, whatever else, but still, that's a lot of injured players, and it's not going to stop anytime soon. Like, people need to understand there are going to be more injuries, and I know there's like this traumatic, oh, great, who's next? Oh, great, who's next? Oh, great, who's next? It's not going to stop.
Yeah, I mean, injuries are just the name of the game. You just have to continue to work through them, you know, and that's why football has the next man up mentality, because you just can't let injuries affect you or it's going to completely ruin your season. You kind of get into that woe is me type mentality, and then things just spiral out of control. But if you feel like the next guy is just given an opportunity, and how many guys have we seen across this league that when given the opportunity ascended to being better than the guy in front of them? And so this happens sometimes. It's not always the case, but with injury sometimes comes opportunity. Now, you never want to lose an all-pro, right? It's not Nick Bosa type guys that you expect that from. but it does give Mikal Williams extra opportunity to go out there and make more plays. He's going to be featured more. He's going to be less of a complimentary player like he's been right now. And boy, has he been one heck of a complimentary player. But this is just something that happens. And yeah, there's going to be more injuries. Hopefully they're not as significant. Hopefully they're not season enders. But you know, this is just the name of the game when it comes to the war of attrition that is NFL football.
Yeah, it's bad. And, you know, yesterday, shout out to Kyle. He says, JC, you think anything will come from the Shiloh Sanders workout? You know, his tape at Colorado, like, he fits the 49er scheme. What he's best at is coming up and thumping. Like, he's a hitter from that safety position, great in run support, not the best cover guy. Definitely got some attitude issues. You saw that in, you know, his one game this year. So I don't think that they'll add him, but it's just, let's see what's out there. You're not missing any safeties. Nobody's hurt, but it's just like, this would be a name if something did happen before Malik returns that you could call in for some help. The 49ers do that where they just recycle, basically. Let's build out our pro personnel sheet where we know each position, just in case if a guard goes down, if a defensive tackle goes, if a coverage linebacker, like where you have a spreadsheet of 3 to 4 names at every single position. That's what these workouts are. So I'm not the biggest Shiloh fan. Sorry, I just spit on my mic. I'm not the biggest Shiloh fan, but he does fit the scheme. I will say that. I am anti-Colorado almost everything, but every time Colorado plays, they left the Big 12. I will never forgive them. They caused this whole mess, them in Nebraska. I don't want to go too far down the college football rabbit hole. Florida State joined the Big 12 in women's volleyball. Did you see that, Ant?
I did not see that.
Yeah. Is that a precursor? Are you guys going to be going to the Big 12, Florida State?
I know they won out of the ACC. They've wanted it for a couple of years now. So, but they're kind of locked in with all the TV deals and stuff. So it's very tough to get out.
Oh, all right. All right. Now I want to transition now and talk Jaguars. Okay. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go through and what is the path to victory against the Jaguars this week, right after this.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year. With over 40 events at road games, if you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you gotta come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get an autograph. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
All right, we've got the details. For our next three trips, Tampa Bay will be partying at the beach. Those are up. Houston, we're going to have Frank Gore out there with us. We rented out an entire parking garage for our tailgate. It is going to be off the hook. And then we're going to be in Jersey for that 49ers at the New York Giants game. We're going to be out in Hoboken at the Ainsworth. And we've got our tailgate set up. Going to be an absolute great time. We're going to be at MetLife Lot J. So those details for those three trips are up. Go check that out on the TickPick app. Just search the 49ers Rush and all of our stuff pulls up, or just click in the link of the description of this video, our audio podcast. Come party with us. Now, the task at hand, the Jacksonville Jaguars, 2-1. Whenever you watch the tape, what comes across whenever you watch the Jacksonville Jaguars and just kind of the matchups that you think the 49ers are going to be exploiting?
Yeah, I think especially when you look at the 49ers on offense, you know, I think that they're going to try to make the Jaguars go with an 8-man box. I mean, I think you have to be able to force them to bring somebody into the box. If they can sit back and they can just relax and make this a game where they can stop you with their front seven, they're going to eat this 49ers offense up. It's going to make it more difficult to complete passes. It's just going to make it more difficult on the 49ers offense. So I think they have to establish a run game, and it's not going to be easy. When you look at this Jaguars team, they are built. They got first-round talent all over the place, good edge defenders. They got good guys in the middle as well. I mean, the blueprint, Arik Armstead is there as well, and he's playing probably, you know, the best I've seen him play in the last couple years. And so I think it's going to be difficult. They have linebackers who can run, but you have to get that run game established. And I'm not telling you if they come in an eight-man box of the 49ers need to run and beat their heads against the wall. If they have an eight-man box, we'll take advantage of them, throw the football. But if they're sitting in that two-man, you know, two-high safety or seven-man box, you have to take advantage of the run game, and I think that's something the 49ers need to take advantage of. And like always, Christian McCaffrey against the linebackers and safeties is still advantage 49ers. They need to continue to feed the beast that is Christian McCaffrey.
You know, one of the things that jumped out to me, Devin Lloyd, like their linebacker, I was just like, damn, this is like Pro Bowl level, all pro level linebacker play. I'm not putting him up there, Fred Warner, obviously, but I don't, you know, Shanahan's kind of number one go-to is give me a linebacker I could take advantage of in space. I'm going to torch that dude, right? Bobby Wagner literally ran him out of three NFC East team or NFC West teams because he just can't cover late in the end. But Devin Lloyd, man, that dude is playing some damn football. So like that was one of the things where, you know, as I was watching the all 22 of the Jaguars, I was like, all right, like CMC's going to have a matchup. Now I'll take CMC over Devin Lloyd, but this is not a give me, oh, CMC's going to have 11 targets in the passing game because he can exploit these linebackers. I don't think that's the way this is going to go. I think that the corners and like you can exploit that, but this is a damn good defense. This is, would you say top five? Like, are you comfortable saying the Jags are a top five defense?
Well, especially with the way they create turnovers, they have to be in that category right now. They've created more turnovers than any other team in the league. They have 9, 7 interceptions, 2 fumbles. When you get turnovers like that, you are a very good defense. And they bend and they don't break. They've been pretty good in the red zone. I wouldn't say it's been phenomenal, but they've been pretty good. 50%, you know, stop rate there. So, I mean, yeah, this defense is one of the better ones. And a lot of it has to do with that front. I mean, that front, you bring up Devin Lloyd and, you know, Oluokun and that linebacker group, that's really good. They're a tough team to play against, and they got some guys on the outside that compete as well. I think if there's a weakness, it's got to be the secondary. But, you know, how many teams are ahead of the sticks enough to take advantage of that? It's been tough for a lot of teams, and we saw C.J. Stroud struggle. Open receivers, opportunities, and still the Jaguars make plays when they have to. Right now, they're very opportunistic.
Yeah, now the flip side, that Jaguars offense is awful. It is so bad. Like, the most drop passes. Yeah, Brian Thomas Jr., I think, you know, PFF has him ranked the 104th out of 114 wide receivers. Drop passes, scared of contact. Now, he's amazing. You get the ball in his hand, he's a touchdown waiting to happen. But Travis Hunter, he's just playing slot and just sparingly. Like, they're not – I don't know. This offense is just bad. Trevor Lawrence – is not a good quarterback. He's not a bad quarterback. He has the highest rate 4 seasons in a row. He has the highest target share to his first read in the NFL, 4 consecutive seasons in a row. And this year, he's even higher than he's ever been in the rest of his career. Like, he's a one-read quarterback. The improvisation's not there. He's not progressing through his reads. They literally brought in their head coach just to get better quarterback play, and he still doesn't look great. Now, the drops aren't helping. They lead the NFL in drops. Like, this offense is just – it's just gross. It's gross to watch. I don't like it. It's not pleasing to the eye. I don't know. I don't think that you really have to do anything crazy exotic. You just go play your game. They're going to give you chances to shut them down because they're just not consistent.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I mean, it was funny. Liam Cohen talked about this yesterday in his presser that, you know, the 49ers are going to sit in their two shell. You know, they're going to sit. They play more quarters than anyone else. You know, two shell quarters look than anyone else in the NFL. And that's exactly what they're going to do in this game. They're going to force the Jacksonville Jaguars to prove they can run the ball. Jacksonville was really good in week one against Carolina, over 200 yards on the ground. Phenomenal game. It came down a little bit against Cincinnati, but they had so many opportunities because Cincinnati had an injury at quarterback. Last week, it came back down to earth, 84 yards against the Houston Texans. And, you know, DeMeco Ryan's similarities on defense give the 49ers an advantage where they can look at it and really have an understanding. They even know some of that personnel. So I think that the 49ers are going to come in this game. They're going to look to stop that run of Travis Etienne and Michelle Tootin with 7 men. If they can do that, they're going to make it very hard on Trevor Lawrence. And then they're just going to sit back. You guys are going to see completions this week. They're going to throw things underneath, and they're going to rally to tackle, and they're going to say, Trevor Lawrence just can't consistently put together 10 to 12 yard drives down the field. He's going to make a mistake. He's going to throw an incompletion. He's going to throw an interception. He's going to take a sack. And that's exactly what the 49ers did to Kyler Murray last week. And that's exactly what they're going to do this week. Is this going, you're going to take a big time quarterback. Someone like a Matthew Stafford is going to have to be the kind of quarterback that can do it. I don't think Trevor can. And the pre to post snap read changes that Saleh can do to Trevor Lawrence could create some opportunities where he doesn't come off his first look like you talked about, and the 49ers end up with the ball in his hand. Maybe they will break the streak. It's been since last year, week 11, that they had an interception. Maybe it changes this week.
Yeah, he's got four interceptions thrown, and there's just like 5 to 6 passes a game. I've watched two of Trevor where I'm just like, what the hell is he doing? I don't know what he is doing. Like the consistency is just not there. So if he has to be consistent now, I will say this, this offense could put up 30 plus points. If they're on, watch out. Like they have explosive players everywhere. Brenton Strange, I think he's like one of the dark horse, like quality tight ends in the NFL. He's been awesome. The run game is good. Basile Tootin, who, you know, was everybody said is a Kyle Shanahan running back. He's been in a non-contact jersey all week. So what's that look like? I do expect him to play. But I do think the Niners defense, even without Nick Bosa, they have the drastic advantage here. They should be favored in this game. And I don't even care who the quarterback is. They should be favored. But Mac Jones was their backup quarterback last year, right? So, like, there's a lot of parallels there. That's going to come through. But the 49ers are the better team. They're the more consistent team. And they're not shooting themselves in the foot near as much as this Jacksonville team is. Now, you want to say better defense? That could be a coin toss. Like, they have a lot of talent. That defensive line is as good as anywhere in the NFL for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So be who you are. Be consistent. Don't shoot yourself in the foot, and you're going to be in a position to win this game at home and improve to 4-0. And you're favored. You're favored for a reason. You're a better team. But, you know, they're kind of like one of those old boxers where it's just like, dude, if they get a couple haymakers in, they could score 70-yard touchdowns at any moment of any game. Like, they're that type of offense.
Yeah, Brian Thomas Jr. has got the explosive nature. His thing is he dropped 4 footballs last week and then had 1 catch for 46 yards, and then you look up at his numbers, look decent, but really it wasn't that big. He just came through at the biggest moment, though. The last drive, he really did come through, but they could be without Diami Brown. He hurt his shoulder last week, had to leave the game. He's not practicing so far this week. That could be a huge loss. He's been the number 2 receiver for them. He's really been the most productive, in my opinion, for that wide receiver room. Travis Hunter hasn't really been very dynamic. He's only got the ball a few times this season. Look for them to kind of turn towards one of their wide receivers, Parker Washington, who had a good game last week, and expect him to be part of the game plan this week, effective in and out of his breaks. I think that could be a big matchup for Upton Stout and Renardo Green in this game. But yeah, right now, the Jacksonville offense, I think, is their Achilles heel. Can they be effective? I think Robert Saleh is going to make them prove that Trevor Lawrence can be better than 55.8% completion percentage, which he is right now. That's not effective NFL quarterback play. Make them be effective. Make them prove they can do it before you do anything exotic. And I think that's exactly what Robert Saleh is going to do.
Yeah, I love it. Now, real quick update, we're going to be having a Zoom hangout tomorrow, Friday at 5:30 p.m. For the 49ers Rush. But I wanted to take this chance and talk to us about your Patreon. What's going on over there? What you're working on?
Yeah, right now, Patreon, every week, there's 2 standalone shows that I do. One that comes out early in the week, talking about the game before. The other one comes out at the end of the week, and we talk about what's going on. It's another coach, so we talk about what's going on with the game coming up. And we focus on offensive line play and defensive line play because he coached offense and defensive line. So if that's something you're into, we do that every week. And then all the film breakdowns are available on Patreon every single week as well. So if you're interested, come check it out, 49ers Cutback on Patreon.
I love it. And I want to say shout out to Adam, Sylvia. I had a couple people that were saying it's their first live show. Just want to say welcome. Really, really appreciate all that you do. And Steven says, does Demo shadow Brian Thomas Jr.? We have not seen that yet. Now, they did this with Charvarius Ward a few times a couple years ago, but I don't think so. I think that they just keep everything where they're at. And keep Renardo on the right side, Demo on the defensive left. I don't think that they're going to switch that up. They could, theoretically, but I actually think Renardo Green and his physicality will be decent against Brian Thomas Jr. Maybe I'm wrong, and Renardo Green has not looked good at all this year, but I'm not switching anything up to a shadow format personally, and I don't think Sala will either.
No, I think this is a good matchup for Renardo Green. I don't worry about the big, you know, physical type wide receivers. I worry about the guys that are getting in and out. I worry about Travis Hunter against Renardo Green more than I worry about, you know, Brian Thomas. So I think that he's going to be just fine. I don't think they need to shadow. In fact, I don't see any wide receivers coming up that Diamondo Lenore is going to have to move around. And Renardo Green's going to get better. He's going to get more effective and more efficient. He still hasn't been too bad. It's penalties have been the real bugaboo for the 49ers secondary. But when you look at their numbers, they have been effective. I think Upton Stout gives up 22 yards a game right now. Renardo Green is the weakest. He gives up 39 yards per game. And how about Demo? He gives up 11 yards per game. Pretty darn good from that secondary that's given up just over 160 through the air anyways. And guess what, guys? That's starting two rookies in the secondary, one at safety and one at nickel corner, and one second-year man in Renardo Green. Pretty darn good.
That's freaking awesome. All right, guys, you heard it here. The path to victory of the 49ers against the Jaguars. Do what you got to do. You stay true to who you are. Execute. Get some turnovers. That would be nice. But you are the better team. Go out there and prove it at home. I'm excited about that. And just want to say thank you for all you do for the community. You are the best. Everybody go subscribe to 49ers Cutback. Check out that Patreon. And for us, that's going to do it for us on this Coach Approach Thursday. Ah, we got some NFC West divisional game. Who you got tonight? You got a Seattle Seahawks or the Arizona Cardinals tonight?
Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks are a class above the Arizona Cardinals. I know it didn't look like it week one, but they're going to show it in this matchup against Arizona.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think this one could get ugly, but they're just playing some good football right now. I mean, that 49ers win week one at Seattle is a huge quality win. It's probably the best win that the 49ers have so far, but that's looking like one of the better wins of across the NFL for any team. Divisional opponent on the road, being able to get out of there with the win and what they've done everywhere else. I think I was wrong on Sam Darnold. That offense is turning him into a beast.
Yeah, Sam Darnold, if you get him in the right scheme, he's going to be effective. And we've seen that he works in this scheme, right? Now that they know it was Kyle Shanahan, it was Kevin O'Connell, and now it's Clint Kubiak, it all works. If he is in this system, he's going to be a successful quarterback, and he's got the necessary tools, and he's got more athleticism and tools than people even think he's got. It's good to see him be successful. I always root for Sam Darnold, except for when he plays against the 49ers, because I hated that he was getting so much hate for so many years because he's so talented. I want to see those guys be successful. Good to see him having some success. Just, you're not going to do it week 18. You're going to get hammered against the 49ers. I just want to let Sam Darnold know that.
There you go. I think it's the permanent dumb face that he has. Like, you know what I mean? He's got dumb face. And so, like, it makes it easy. He had the ginger on top of that. It's just like, come on, man. It's what it is. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. I'll be pulling for the Cardinals. But Seattle's a better team. So that's where we're at. All right, Ant, that's going to do it for us. Really appreciate you. And to everybody else, stay healthy. Don't get injured. And we'll see you guys next time. And until then, stay strong, faithful.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A mochi moment from Tara, who writes, "For years, all my doctor said was eat less and move more, which never worked. But you know what does? The simple eating tips from my nutritionist at Mochi. And after losing over 30 pounds, I can say you're not just another GLP-1 source. You're a life source. Thanks, Tara. I'm Myra Ahmed, founder of Mochi Health. To find your mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Tara is a Mochi member compensated for her story.